You're listening to the December 22nd episode of Cheesehead Radio, back in control of our own fate. Tonight's special guest is Packer Santa. Reach the
eye. Back to receiver, they're going to start with an onside kick, and Green Bay almost came up with it initially at the 47-yard line, and they do after... ...is caught by James Jones. Singers to catch into the end zone, he rolls for a Green Bay touchdown.
Reach...
And Coon will dive into the end zone. Touchdown.
Hi, this is CD, and on behalf of the Big Five, we wanted to say thank you for joining us here at Cheesehead Radio this season. What a week for Packers fans, the games all went our way. So if we win the next two, the playoffs we will play. Oh, playoffs, 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 two teams in the way. Playoffs, 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 win them and we play. Hey, Jersey Al, so, playoffs?
You're not going to convince me that the Packers are going to be a Super Bowl winning team with Mike McCarthy.
What a week for Packers fans, the games all went our way. But we won't win the next two if McCarthy calls the plays. Mike, can't call a game. Mike, that's why he's playoffs, 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 playoffs. Mike, two teams in the way.
Can't call it
playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. Mike, win them and we play. That's why he's playing.
Hi guys.
Hi John.
I am so pumped for this game this weekend. Packers are going to win it.
Even if Matt Flynn were playing?
No.
I think the Pack will win if Aaron starts again.
So do you think that the Packers have a chance against that giant defense?
Well, I'll tell you, only if they manage to run the ball and quit giving up on it.
Now when you learn to stick with the run, you'll find you've already won. Keep running, learn to
Mike,
stick with the run.
Can't call
you'll
a game.
Find you've
Mike,
already won.
That's why he's lame.
Hi, Jamie. Come with a great song. Mind if I join in?
Go right ahead. What a week for Packers fans. The games all went our way. So if we win the next two, the playoffs we will... Everybody!
Playoffs, playoffs, playoffs.
Mike, two teams in the way.
Call it
playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. Mike,
win
them every play.
Playoffs, playoffs, playoffs.
Mike, two teams in the way.
Call it playoffs, playoffs, playoffs.
Mike, win them every play.
Clay Matthews, I love you. I just want to touch your hair.
Jamie, we're singing about the playoffs.
Yeah, your point is?
Touché.
Coming in at number one on the top of the charts is Playoffs, Playoffs, Playoffs by the Big Five.
That was amazing.
Wow.
Wow. That is what you call an intro. I don't even want to do my part anymore. That was just awesome. But let's get the show started. Welcome to Cheesehead Radio, the place where we're so thankful that you decided to join us for some South Park singing and talk a little bit about the Packers tonight, because we got a lot to talk about. My name is John Rehor from GreenBayPackerNation.com, and I am joined by my co-host this evening. Going around the table, we have from the Packers Lounge in Brent Favre, Miss Jamie Jors. Jamie, good evening.
Good evening. I'm speechless after that. That was amazing, CD. I don't even know
next
what
up,
else to say. That's it.
I agree. Next up is the master of the intros from TundraVision.com, CD Angeli. CD, how are you?
Well, I'll tell you, it took a lot of helium for me to inhale to do that. I think my voice is recovered.
Let's hope so for the show. And finally,
definitely,
from Brent Favre and the other 31, Holly Phelps. Holly, good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, CD, that was your best yet.
Don't expect me to top it anytime soon.
Oh, our standards have already gone up. This is the new base.
I'm starting to balance intro, sleep, intro, sleep. One of these times the sleep is going to win out.
You can sleep when you're dead.
I know.
Oh, wow.
You know me so well.
Jersey Al is on sabbatical this week, but if we're lucky, he may join us later on in the show. Well, this week, it's a special edition, and it's for you. All of our loyal fans in the Packer blogosphere and the Twitterverse are invited to call in to us tonight and chime in on whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about the disappointing loss of the Patriots, the meltdown at the end of the game, Chris Farley returning a kickoff 71 yards, and being named AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, whether Mike McCarthy can win two critical games, can we return to the playoffs, whatever you want. Anything is fair game tonight. Our live call-in number is 917-932-8401. CD will screen you, so when you're in there, don't freak out if you don't go on right away. We will try to get to everyone. And if you just feel like leaving a message, feel free to give us a call at 316-CH-RADIO. And with that being said, let's talk about some news.
Definitely.
Cheesehead Radio brings you this week's Packer Dagger.
Well, the Packers ended up losing the game that many of us thought was impossible to win anyway. Yet the Packers put together an offensive approach we haven't seen this year, with a commitment to the running game that took pressure off of Matt Flynn, the first backup quarterback to start a game since 1992. Flynn played like a pro for the first 59 minutes, but a meltdown with time running out reminded us that he is still inexperienced in the big leagues.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, QB1 was cleared to make his start against the Giants this coming week. In a text message to ESPN Milwaukee, Aaron Rodgers announced, "I've been cleared." Then, after a pause, he added, "It's not that big of a story, is it?" Well, Aaron, maybe it isn't to you, but it sure is to us. We are glad to have you back. Welcome back.
Indeed. Having Aaron Rodgers back may help some of the problems the Packers have had, but it is not going to solve the problems on special teams. With the coverage unit struggling, the Packers have resorted to squib kicks to avoid speedy returners, but ended up giving a 71-yard return to lineman Dan Connolly. Said special teams coach Sean Slocum yesterday, "Football is a game of ups and downs, and if you have more ups than you have downs, you generally win. The downs are the things that are frustrating because you plan those." Thanks, Sean. That might describe your entire tenure as special teams coach.
Ugh. 71 yards to a lineman. As the Packers have now lost their sixth game, it's remarkable how all of those losses have been by either 3 or 4 points in each game. McCarthy's record in his head coaching career in games decided by 4 points or less has now fallen to 5-16, and McCarthy is coming under fire for what has to be labeled at this point a trend.
Well, next week's game against the 9-5 Giants is huge. Huge! First of all, they collapsed on Sunday against Michael Vick and the Eagles, which opened the door for the Packers to compete for a wild card spot. With a win over the Giants, it would put the Packers in the driver's seat in the tiebreakers. Antrell Roll, the Giants' safety, doesn't appear to believe the Packers will prevail, as on Monday he guaranteed a victory against the Packers, only so the Giants could have a rematch against the Eagles in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's hope all the Giants are looking past the Packers on Sunday. Finally, if you're a fan of Survivor, the Packers didn't do CBS any favors. The usually highly rated finale for the granddaddy of the reality show was battered by the Packers-Patriots primetime matchup, averaging a 6.1 rating to Survivor's 4.1, with 24.2 million viewers, the fifth most watched Sunday Night Football game of all time. Pretty impressive.
Well, I guess it finally took the Packers to snuff out the Survivor's torch. With that, it's time for this week's news from the Packers Twitterverse.
This week in the Packers Twitterverse.
Well, with such an emotional game that we just went through, we couldn't decide on just one tweet of the week. We did, however, find a number that made us giggle despite the loss to the Patriots. For example, after Dan Conley lumbered 71 yards on a kickoff return, Director Titan tweeted, "Did you seriously let King Kong just run that back?"
Well, Z Kavili had the perfect comeback. You know who have made the tackle on Conley? James Starks.
No. As Raheem T12 so aptly put it, you play to win the game. I'm done.
Yes, you do, CD. Yes, you do. In addition to these very astute observations, we also found that Packer fans posed several excellent questions. For example, Pac fan since 89 wondered, if I throw up from this game, will Pizza Hut give me my money back?
That's good, but KDHD is more pressing. She asked, do you think Hockley flexes his biceps a little when he points downfield during penalty announcements?
I think it's a given with Mr. Ed Hockley.
Indeed.
And then there's Raheem's other big question, which was directed at our favorite announcer, Chris Collinsworth, who managed to infuriate nearly everyone with his brand of prognostication. Asked Raheem, are you talking about Brady's hair or his throw, Collinsworth? Because either way, it appeared you were hitting on Brady.
And finally, there was the gratuitous bear bashing. Green Bay blog said, listening to my second Bears night, game of the season on Chicago radio, urge to kill is rising. Rising.
But despite losing the NFC North title to the Bears, our story has a happy ending. Chad Toporski found the silver lining in the evening. Cutler throws a touchdown. Sounds like the title of a children's book. And those folks were your Cheesehead Radio Tweets of the Week.
No soundbite?
Guess not. Maybe CD's screening callers.
Oh, that I could be. And would you believe? What were we talking about? I'm sorry. I'm going to be in and out. I'm hoping we have a ton of callers. I'm sorry about that. Did I need to do the tweet of the week?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We can't move forward without it.
Oh, okay. Here you go.
Tweet of the week.
I love those little birds.
Yes.
I love that. Well, hey, it's that week. It's a very, very special week for us here. We got a ton of people that we want to say thank you to. I don't know if you knew this. We've averaged about 60 live listeners every show. We've had up to 80, and we average probably around 400 listens after the show, which I think is great. As a matter of fact, we just found out today from Block Talk Radio contacted me.
Yeah.
We have been named the number one show, sports
what?
Show, related to the Packers, that airs at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
That's amazing.
Number one. In fact, they tell me no one's even close. Anyway, well, we want to say thank you to everyone who helped help make this a fun venture for us this year. And we happen to have someone on the line with us right now. I should make the phone ring again, shouldn't I? Let's do that. I was a little premature with the phone ring before. On the line with us live from Cheesehead TV. Can you guess?
No.
It is Brian Campbell.
Ooh.
Brian.
Hello, folks. How you doing here at Cheesehead Radio?
Oh, we're doing just fine. Glad to have you with us.
Fantastic. Well, I got a question for everyone. Everybody's got to take off the green and gold glasses for a while. Put on you're going to pretend you're a Las Vegas odds maker. If you're a Las Vegas odds maker and you're not worried about how the Packers are going to do, what are the odds that they win both games from here on out?
About the same as Skype coming back online tonight.
Fox Sports, I thought it was Adam Schein, is pretty darn sure that the Packers are going to do it. He's laying out his professional reputation, like his reputation as a sports analyst. He is saying that the Packers will do it. I wouldn't put money on it, but I am not a betting woman, so I don't know.
I'm really bad at odds, mostly, which I'm really good at math, but I don't completely understand how odds work. Like, I get it, but when you get, like, the 5 and 7, I just can't do that. So I think what I'm going to say is that it boils down to the Giants game. I think that given home field, they stand to win a good chance of winning that. If they can win the Giants game, that ups the odds of winning the Chicago game, since Chicago's already clinched. Tremendously. I would put it, and without my green and gold glasses, a 65% to 75% chance that the Packers beat the Giants. It's at home.
It is.
It's at home, and Eli gets rattled. I can't take them off completely, people.
All right.
And you, CD?
The Packers have this amazing ability to lose at the times they shouldn't, and they have this ability to win when you don't expect them to. You know, I look at it, and I think a lot of it is going to depend on any lessons that Mike McCarthy learned last week. And I made that point several times on Twitter. My gosh, look what happens when you commit to a run game. Don't put 90% of your offense on your quarterback. Now, if Aaron Rodgers comes back and he's running for all our rushing yards and passing for all our passing yards, I say we lose. If they get that running game going like they did last week, really, that was very impressive against the Patriots. I mean, they could have, would have, should have won that game, and it certainly wouldn't have been the running game's fault. And how many times this season have we been able to say that? So I'm going to say it's 50-50. I probably should predict it a little higher, but it depends which Packers show up. I'm going to say it's a 50-50. I'm going to call it even.
Yeah, it's been something I've been struggling with all week. The Packers are at home, so that's obviously an advantage to them, but they're playing two teams with a better record than them. So, I was kind of thinking myself, if I'm the Las Vegas odd maker, it'd probably be about 50% at best, but, personally, I'd like to think it would be better, but we will find out, I suppose.
You think there's going to be leftover ghosts from that NFC playoff game, championship game from, what was it, 3 years ago, where the Giants just came in and beat us on our home turf in the cold and everything?
There are so many Giants that are on the team still that were on that Super Bowl team. There aren't as many Packers that are still around.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll probably be telling stories. I'm pretty sure you're going to get, Donald Driver, Charles Woodson, talking about how, certainly Driver talking about how the offense didn't step up and do its job. But so many of the Packers players are young. I don't see how any ghosts will exist that aren't artificially put there.
Maybe that's exactly what McCarthy needs to do, though, is plant those seeds of the last time they were here, look what they did. Are we going to let that happen again? It could be a huge psychological edge that they're playing in Lambeau with that little chip maybe on the coach's shoulder less so than the players.
Yeah. And somehow, John, I'm actually hearing Jersey Al reaching from wherever he is saying, McCarthy, getting a psychological edge? Are you crazy? I think he's officially a doubter.
Yes. It's the jersey.
It's the jersey in him.
Hey, you got it. We take fans of all stripes.
We do.
We do.
So Mr. Caribou, you were not available to do your weekly broadcast this week. Was there any level of withdrawal symptoms?
Perhaps a little, yeah, but between the holidays and my duties with Maple Street Press, I'm kind of taken up, but hopefully at some future point here, maybe post-Christmas, I'll be able to resume some sort of semblance on Cheesehead TV.
Well, I don't know if you heard the intro, but that'll tell you why I haven't touched my blog this week.
Well, Brian, if you're going through withdrawals of any kind, I will try to, channel as Aaron as best I can. What happened this week?
See, I wasn't prepared for this, but I see the Packers winning. The home field advantage doesn't for them. The fact that it's do or die if they lose the route, and I think that's enough to get them through. I don't know if it'll be pretty, but I see the Packers winning.
Do you think they win? Will Sean Slocum units redeem themselves?
Oh, that's a good question as well. I don't see Sean Slocum being a member of the Green Bay Packers post 2010, or, well, I suppose their last game of the year is, in 2011. But past that, I can't see it, him being around. As for this week itself, I hope they redeem themselves.
Jersey Pack fans,
but anyway,
from Hubble there, Brian.
I got to get going. It was good talking to you, and keep the good work up on Cheesehead Radio, folks. So thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks
Brian.
So much.
Glad to have you with us, and have a happy holiday.
Yeah,
yes.
Take care.
All right.
Brian Caribou.
That was pretty awesome. I wasn't expecting him to call in.
Yeah.
No,
well,
I wasn't either.
Good
for Brian.
I threw a little note out.
In the screen room, too.
I messaged him. I just wasn't expecting it. It's great.
All right. Well, we've got a lot more people that are on our list that said they'd call in. We'd love to hear from you. I've got one person who doesn't answer me, so I'm guessing they're just listening to the show, which you're always welcome to do here on Cheesehead Radio, 917-932-8401. We would love to hear from you. So this Patriot game, guys, a lot of talk with Mike McCarthy after this one. Are you guys? We know where Jersey Al's sitting. Where are you guys sitting on this right now? Are you on the McCarthy bandwagon? Are you off the McCarthy bandwagon? Are you looking for his head on a platter? Or is this an injury thing and he's untouchable?
You know, I find it funny how fans seem to, at least the vocal ones, seem to be putting themselves into pretty clear camps. And I don't see, you know, of course, me having studied negotiation and diplomacy and all of that stuff, I like to sit on the fence. And I don't see a problem splitting hairs with this one. I don't have a problem being, confident in McCarthy as a coach right now and being extremely frustrated by his, play calling and inability to manage the clock and the game at critical points throughout this season and past seasons. I mean, it drives me batty. I found myself halfway through that Patriots game going, I would like to see Belichick calling our plays. I'd be interested to see how that would go. You know, and I don't want him as our coach.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of those things where, you know, I always look forward a little bit to the fourth preseason game because you know that Joe Philbin is calling the plays. And you almost want to see what a different set of eyes would do with the talent on our team. Mm-hmm. McCarthy's good at what he does, and I think that he's, you know, coached this team well. Has he coached it to their potential? I'm becoming more doubtful. But I don't think his job's in jeopardy. I don't think it will be in jeopardy.
I think I'm kind of like you, Holly, is that, I mean, I'm a little on the fence. I've made no, you know, I've not hidden it very well this year that I like McCarthy. But I think it is possible to like certain things that he does while disliking others. I personally, I don't think he will be fired, and I don't think he should be fired, and I would be, I put myself in the upset camp this morning if he was fired, just because I think that it would be going back and starting over when I don't think we necessarily need to do that. I think he does get, at times, the best potential out of his players. He takes a lot of people who shouldn't really be playing at all like they are and gets really good production out of them. But like you said, at times he just, in the middle of games, you just sometimes wonder, like, what is he doing? And I think that there's been some crucial moments this year, like that the Atlanta game when he didn't challenge that play and at the end of last week's game.
I hated that.
You know, and it's just, when he explains it to me, I can kind of understand. Like, yes, you have to get the play call in. You have to get – he's wearing so many hats that he has a lot to do in that time. But if he can't figure out to call the replay or if he can't figure out a way to get his team to understand, no, it's not first down, it's fourth down, you need to just call a play, then he needs someone else to step up with him and do it. If that's having someone else call the plays, having a, you know – and I know we have an assistant head coach, but, you know, almost like that a co-head coach in kind of kind of way. You know, not in a co-head, but in the way of someone who could be there with him to figure those things out. You know, maybe taking the play calling away or helping him during the game because he seems to get flustered at times. And that's what I would like to see changed, not necessarily changing our coach.
Well,
I couldn't think of a better word than co-coach. You know, I don't mean a co-coach, but I can't figure out what the word would be. I'm making a lot of gestures
crutch
with my hand, but it's not helping.
Mike McCarthy is not going anywhere. I mean, I think all the talk of is he in trouble and, you know, it's 5 years in, he hasn't been in the Super Bowl. He is not getting fired. And I really think that everybody just kind of needs to stop the talk. This year, if nothing else, he has the crutch of, I have 13 guys in IR, my team's in playoff contention. And that is my sticking point. He has taken scrubs, I think is a term that Andy just used on the chat, and they're in playoff contention. I'm not saying that he is getting the most out of this team, because I don't really think that in the whole time he's been coaching, he's gotten the most out of the team. But I do think that he is going to be around for a while. Now, what I think is going to happen, despite everything that you might want to happen, I think Slocum is going to be the sacrificial lamb at the end of the season. Regardless of how
Definitely.
The season ends, he is going to be the one that pays the price for the ineptitude and lapses of his team in the season, because you can count on, well, one hand for sure, maybe even going on to two, the number of times special teams has failed us. Ultimately, that falls on the head coach because he's the one who hires the coach, but Slocum will pay the price. And I don't even care if they don't have a special teams coach, because anything can be better than the garbage we have out there right now.
Okay, well,
a little trivia question,
John.
A little trivia question. After 2008, the 6-10 season, who was the first coach McCarthy fired?
Ooh. Well, Mike Stock, technically.
Mike Stock,
well, Stock
was actually
fired.
Done a day before
fired.
The rest of them.
Even though he retired, and I have the air quotes up right now.
But here's a question. First of all, Sean Slocum is no sacrificial lamb.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they had, you know, even if they win out and go to the Super Bowl and win it, I think he should be fired. I'm done with Sean Slocum. But here's a question: does Mark Lovett get fired, the strength and conditioning coordinator?
No, because you can't prevent broken arms and broken feet and all that stuff. Broken wrists.
Yeah, but there is a preponderance on our team of knees and shoulder injuries. Some of that stuff has to come back to strength and conditioning.
Isn't, what's the guy, they flipped roles. Isn't he still on the team, though, the one that was before?
Yeah, Dave Redding.
Dave Redding?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know that they prepped Lovett for taking the role from Redding. Well, why wouldn't you, I mean, I could see that. Bye-bye, you're gone. And Dave, why don't you go back to where you were, because it seemed to be a lot better when you were in charge.
But the question is, if you keep firing these special teams coaches, and strength and conditioning, and the assistant towel boy over in, you know, the back locker room, is this solving the problems that the Packers are having?
I don't think you can dig further into that coaching roster without, like, fire somebody, you know, without taking them all.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty, especially on offense, it's been a very consistent group.
Except for the offensive line.
Well, if you get rid of James Campen and you change that whole, you know, zone blocking scheme, then you better draft all new linemen, because I don't know even know if Brian Bulaga will fit in a power offensive line scheme.
Yeah.
Well, that's a scary thought.
But who knows? None of us can get inside the head of McCarthy.
Absolutely not. You're very right.
Got it.
Well, hey, we got someone else who'd like to chime in. Hey there, you're on Cheesehead Radio. Who is this?
Hey, guys, how you doing? It's Kyle Cousineau.
Hey, Kyle.
Kyle Cousineau.
How's everybody this evening?
Good.
Hey,
just Skype thing, doing great.
I hear you. Okay, I don't hear you. Just wanted to call and basically chime in on what you guys were just talking about. You know, with McCarthy getting fired, and John, I agree with everything that you just said. There is no way in hell Mike McCarthy gets fired. If anything, I can see I don't even know if I can see Bill Philbin taking over the play calling, but I think something is going to happen with Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. They're going to sit down at the end of the year, and Thompson's going to say to McCarthy, saying, something's got to give. Your job's not in jeopardy, but you've got to make changes to your staff, whether it be, you know, Sean Slocum, who I think has to go, James Campen has to go. But although today's news of Chad Clifton and Josh Sitton being top Pro Bowl vote-getters might change that a little bit, because any offensive line that has two Pro Bowlers is pretty damn good, I guess. But
well, that's
something
fan voting.
I know. I'm well aware of that. But Josh Sitton is pretty deserving of being a Pro Bowler, though. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, anybody that hasn't given up a sack, you know, all season long and only has one holding penalty all year is pretty damn good. You know, something does have to give with that coaching staff. And I've heard through the inner circle of the coaching ranks here in Green Bay that these guys, that Mike McCarthy and Sean Slocum are buddy-buddy, like best friends on the, you know, on the staff. And I think Ted Thompson's going to say to McCarthy, you know, you have to make an example. You know, whether, you know, if you want to call it the sacrificial lamb or whatever, but something has to give with them. And I think, you know, there's going to be a couple changes. I don't know if, you know, there's going to be extreme changes because, you know, everyone says injuries aren't an excuse. You can't use injuries as a crutch, whatever. But I'm sorry. You lost, what was it, seven starters from week one are now on IR. you know, or if not starters, guys that played significant roles and a significant number of downs. I mean, I don't care who you are, what team you are, if you're the Patriots or the Colts or the Steelers or the Ravens, if you lose seven starters from week one, you're going to have struggles.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Yeah. I agree.
But it doesn't change the fact that even though they've had the injuries, and I tend to waver on that. I understand the injuries, but I never want to see it being an excuse. And the thing I respect about McCarthy is I don't think he ever has. I don't think he's used the injuries as an excuse. And if you look at how they've played, they're an 8-6 team right now. With that many starters out, they should be 4-12. They should be where 2005 Mike Sherman was. And they're not. So, I mean, they're definitely, I don't even want to say overachieving. They're playing with the injuries and moving forward, and I have a lot of respect for that. I just don't like offering that out as an excuse yet. Maybe when the season's over, but for right now, I want them to go in against the Giants thinking they've got a bullet in every, you know, in the gun, ready to go.
I completely agree with you, and I think, you know, this coming game, there's going to be, you know, I know you guys kind of touched on a little bit earlier, but, I mean, this is a redemption game. I mean, we got, mm-hmm. you know, we got beat here in 2007, and damn it, let's go out and end their season like they ended ours. You know, because mm-hmm. if we're both playing for that, you know, one of those final playoff spots, so we'll see what happens.
Definitely.
So, John, I'm going to see you this weekend, right?
Absolutely.
Right on. Let me know. Let me know what our plan is. We'll meet up for sure on Sunday.
Good deal.
Cool. Excellent. Thanks.
All right.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
You
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much,
Kyle. Thanks.
If you're ever in the Green Bay coming up there, don't forget to go check out the Abbey in the pier, and he will hook you up over there too. Great place. Great place to have a tweet up, let me tell you. If you are looking to call in, the phone number is 917-932-8401, and I have an open line right now waiting for one of these people to call in, one of these folks who've been loyal listeners and are having a great time in the chat room. We'd love to hear your voice. That's your Christmas present to us, because we'd love to hear from you. You've been listening to us. We'd love to hear how you feel about the Packers. All right, what's the next topic, guys? You got one that's pressing for you? Well, that's dead air. Okay.
How about this? I'll throw one out.
Go ahead.
I don't like that one. How are we going to beat the Giants? Let's break it down. How are we going to beat the Giants? I mean, we touched on a little bit here and a little bit there. How are we going to do it? Do we follow the
well,
same game plan we followed in versus New England, or is it a little different?
Well, I could talk about that a little bit, but I think that establishing the run is necessary. It's going to be a lot harder. The Giants are far superior to the Patriots on defense in just about every category. But we can't, you know, go into the game like we did in Atlanta and say we're going to throw it 50 times. You can't do it against OCU Manure. You can't. You know, I think it's going to have to come down to the defense forcing turnovers, which is what I thought against the Patriots, too, and I had that completely wrong. So, you know, feel free to not listen to anything that I say going into this game.
It makes you feel better they haven't listened to anything I've said either, so. something you said, though, Holly, and sorry to interrupt you, sneak in there, because there's a lot of people who put that, like kickoff return by Chris Farley or whoever that was who returned as being like the big turning point of the game, the biggest impact. And yeah, you know, it was obviously an ESPN highlight. To me, the most critical mistake the Packers made against the Patriots was three dropped interceptions.
You can take, as far as I'm concerned, Matt Flynn melting down at the end of the game, the special teams melting down with the kickoff return. If I'm correct, those two dropped interceptions, the one by Woodson was 7 points on the next play, and the one by Walden was 3 points, I think, two or three plays later. I mean, that's 10 points. That's 10 mm-hmm. points completely taken off the board, and we're nowhere near this at the end of the game for Flynn or McCarthy, whomever. I have to agree. I think those turnovers are critical, and we can't afford to be dropping those.
No.
Not against Tom Brady, for sure.
No. Well, on the plus side, I think... Oh, don't call. I can wait.
No, I'm going to let you go there. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, on the plus side, I think that Eli Manning's a lot easier to rattle than Tom Brady, so perhaps those interceptions will be more thrown directly to the Packers. And
instead of hitting him
like
in the hands, it'll hit him in the hands.
You know,
just, right.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though. I think that I'm being positive here, people. Don't hate on my positivity, okay?
No, you're very positive, very much so.
Exactly, I'm positive. Okay, go answer the phone.
All right, we'll answer the phone now. Hey there, you are on Cheesehead Radio. Who's joining us tonight?
Am I on?
You are on. Live.
Chris Lepus is calling from Old Bag of Donuts. How's it going, guys?
Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Chris
says, welcome back to the show. How you doing, bud?
It's been a while. I'm doing good. I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. How are you guys all doing?
Good.
Real good.
Super. Not bitter about Skype at all.
Well, I'm calling from a phone, so.
Yeah, and so are we. So what's on your mind, Chris?
Yeah.
Well, I was told by Jamie that I should call in tonight, so I figured I would call in and chat with you guys for a little bit. So.
And you didn't have
a
you
guys tell me. You guys tell me what are you guys talking about? I'll jump in.
Well, I mean, why don't we start by looking back a little bit? Who do you blame for the loss?
on Sunday night?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I feel like you'd have to blame McCarthy, wouldn't you? For the loss ultimately, just because of the just because of the way that he wasn't able to prepare Flynn for the final, you know, that final minute of the game. I mean, granted, I think a little bit of that, I mean, Flynn definitely got the deer in the headlights a little bit, you know, the last 30 seconds or so, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I feel like if he was maybe a little bit prepared, if he was better prepared, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Well, the preparation sure didn't look like it was there. And the way McCarthy described it in the post game, he says, yeah, we were prepared. And he had no problem with how Flynn was handling it. And I can't see how he's seeing that because we're watching him and offensive linemen all staring at each other for, what was it, 19 seconds?
It was
ridiculous.
19 soul-crushing seconds it was, yes.
That was awful. And I think the word he used in the press conference was chaotic. He saw nothing chaotic about that last play. And that is what really upsets me about McCarthy is that, you know, just tell us the truth. Say we
mm-hmm.
were confused. We're all grown-ups. We saw it. Tell us the truth.
I agree 110%. That's one of my biggest gripes with him is that every time things go wrong like that at the end, it's his whole vibe is, well, that was exactly the way it was supposed to go. That's exactly as we planned it. It's like, can't you just once stand up there and say, you know what, we really screwed up at the end there.
No, because he's not programmed that way. I don't think that if you had any coach, you know, coaching the Packers, that they would be able to, as long as, I guess Thompson is in control because I know he likes to control his little puppets. I don't think anybody would be able to talk the way that they really want to because I have to believe that he goes home and just is like screaming like, if only I could say what I really want to say, but I can't.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I think that McCarthy and Thompson are like two peas in a pod.
I see them as
really good friends that go out to dinner and don't say a word to each other the whole night.
I heard you guys talking about Sean Slocum a little while ago, everybody's favorite. Doesn't it get to the point with Slocum where you just once I want McCarthy to stand up at a press conference after the game and go, you know what, I'll admit it. We don't give a crap about special teams. There, I said it, okay? We don't care. We don't care if we do well or poorly. It doesn't matter to us. Special teams are for wimps. There, I said it, okay? Just once I want him to do that. Can he just once just admit to me that you don't care? Because clearly, as long as he's around, you don't.
Dina, I'm sensing a little bit of your venom starting to come out there. What's your opinion on Chris Collinsworth?
I think Collinsworth is pretty good for the most part from week to week. I thought he was terrible on Sunday night. But when Bob Kraft is handing you the checks, I mean, you have no choice. But you got. My favorite was when Brady threw. There was that one play where Brady threw like a 6-yard out pass, and Big B was on the receiver. He was on him pretty well. And Collinsworth went on for, it felt like about 5 minutes about how amazing this little 6-yard out pass was. That window was about 6 inches he had to throw that ball in, Al. I'm like, Chris, it was a 6-yard pass. Was this what it was like to Favre all those years when announcers just loved everything he did and we were like, yep, it was great?
Well, he loved all the Patriots in that game. I mean, right, the series after Flynn threw that beautiful pass to James Jones for the touchdown, they were like, well, Flynn finally threw one accurate. You know, he's been having trouble all night. And it's like, did you miss that one?
I remember. I completely agree. And how about him going on and on about Vince Wilfork playing every down? He is playing every down tonight. I'm like, Adam and I were actually talking about this today, about, Chris, did you watch the tape of B.J. Rashi, how he plays like 60 snaps every single week without fail? And he never mentioned that.
Well, how about Vince Wilfork only pulling on Brandon Jackson's face mask because Scott Wells made him do it?
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was one of those you're pulling your hair out and screaming at Collinsworth moments. I mean, he's normally very, very good, but he had a very, very bad night Sunday.
I would agree.
I think he and everybody was expecting it to be, 30-0 by halftime. When the Packers gave him a game, I think that everybody was looking at their script going, wait, this doesn't fit. What do we say now? What do we do now?
Wasn't it driving you nuts as the game was going on and Collinsworth just kept going, this is exactly as I predicted it would go. Like in that like sarcastic, like mocking, it's like, shut up, Chris. It's like, It's a ball game now, okay? Can you just stop? Like,
But that's the problem. Can he stop? No, he can't. And that's why we hate him.
By the way, this me just ranting about stuff is at least not new to Holly. She's heard all this before.
It was great.
For better or worse, Holly's heard this before, so.
Please share with the rest of the class.
About what? About after the Redskins game when I was just a raving lunatic for the better part of 3 hours because they had ruined my birthday? Yeah.
I'm still sorry about that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Thanks. Well, and then my brother's birthday was on the day of the Lions game. So apparently they're just out to ruin it for the Lions family this year. Which is
So do you have any other birthdays coming up in your family that we need to be aware of?
I don't. Thank God my father's birthday is not until July. He's 81 years old.
Make sure they're March or later. That'll be fine.
Yeah, I think they're done tormenting us for this year anyway. So,
came to me. I want to know what your opinion on this, but keep going back to those heartbreaking 19 seconds where everyone's standing looking at Flynn. Do we not have some seasoned veterans on that offense? Chad Clifton, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Scott Wells. I mean, guys who've been around for years, who've been in playoff games, who should have turned around and said, hey, we need to get to the line of scrimmage, or
no,
quick, call play 7 or something. But, I mean, it was like the whole group just sat and looked at them.
Driver talked about this after the game, and he said that he thought that he'd gotten the first down, and he was waiting for Flynn to spike the ball. because he thought he'd gotten the first down, and they would
I missed that.
And you can kind of see Flynn motioning to the sideline, and he does the fist, the fourth down fist, trying to verify with the sideline. Yes, it's fourth down. I'm calling the right play. And so I think that that's where some of the confusion came from. But they, like I was saying earlier, there should have been somebody on the sideline just screaming out,
right,
it's fourth down. If that person can't be McCarthy, somebody else needs to do it.
Well, even if you saw the close-ups after watching, you know, watching the highlights, the close-ups on Flynn's face as those you know, heartbreaking seconds are ticking off, I mean, it was deer in the headlights. I mean, he totally I mean, he was doing some of the motioning, but there was also sort of this glazed over look in his eye, like
he probably
sort
had
of,
three people in his ear.
Yeah.
I mean, it must have been just chaos in his helmet, no doubt about that. But that just goes back to the, didn't it feel like for 59 minutes and 15 seconds they came in and were gutsy and we don't care that you're the New England Patriots, and then in the last 45 seconds it hit McCarthy and Flynn and everybody that, oh my God, could we actually maybe beat these guys? And then they just choked.
Yeah, I was all set to wear my jersey to work. I mean, it was going to be great. And then they were like, oh, right, we're supposed to lose this game. Let's find a way.
Know. We work with a guy from Boston who had come in on Friday and was, you know, I'll give you any amount of points you guys want for this game on Sunday. You're not going to stop Tom Brady. And we were like, no, we're not going to make any bets because we know this thing's going to be, you know, a slaughter. And then I just kept thinking, oh, we're going to get to rub it in his face tomorrow morning in the office. And then it didn't happen.
As the only person who picked the Packers, I was really ready to gloat, especially because they were so close to my score prediction, and then they took that joy away from me.
And the crow would have tasted so good.
So good, yes.
No, you were, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say what happened this week.
Oh, well, you know, despite some... First, I don't know why, but despite some of the stuff, you know, the stuff that you've been maybe reading on our website about maybe my, let's say, down approach to the team right now, because this is a playoff game. It is a playoff game at home. It's Christmas. I have no idea why, but I'll say Green Bay 28, New York 27.
Ooh.
Does that win come on the foot of Mason Crosby? Did we have a 14-point lead and then, you know, we just salted away the time? You know, who's the hero?
It's going to be a slug. I feel like it's going to be an offensive slugfest. The Giants, you know, their game plan is going to be pretty simple. They have those big wide receivers, and they're going to let Manning, you know, do the 5 and 7 step drops and throw it as far as you can downfield and just go into those 50-50s with the, you know, with Woodson and Shields and Williams. And I think they'll hit on them. I think they'll hit on enough to keep it, you know, really close. But I think in the end it'll be the secondary that wins this thing because, you know, that to me by far is the best area on this team right now. So let's say Tremont Williams, the man who should be going to the Pro Bowl but won't. We'll be the hero.
He'll go. It's all based on name recognition for the fan voting, and you know, a lot of people outside of Green Bay don't know how good he is. If he does not go to the Pro Bowl, that is a travesty, an absolute travesty.
It is. I'm with you.
That's where somebody has, you know, put their hand up and go, this is wrong. You can't have 5 million people, whatever it is, calling in, or I'm sorry, voting for, you know, Tom Brady and Michael Vick, and not give respect to the people that actually deserve to go based on the play that is seen week in, week out, and not just based on their name.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, we've spent all season talking about Clay Matthews' value to this defense, but if you put the proverbial gun to my head and said, you can only have one for the rest of the way this season, Matthews or Williams, I would say I'll keep Tremont Williams.
Hey, you know, Deion Branch knows how good Tremont Williams is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, Deion Branch and Randy Moss and, you know.
I mean, what's funny is they asked on, I think on Monday, you know, why do you think that Tremont Williams was so effective at being able to, you know, shut down Deion Branch? And the coaches were not going to answer that. They were like, we've moved on. we're not talking about the Packers anymore. I mean, that's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
That we took away both, that Williams and, you know, our secondary took away both Welker and Branch.
Which is what I didn't think they would do that. I thought, you know, yeah. The one guy who gave him trouble was Hernandez, and that was the one guy I kind of thought all week would give them trouble, because this team's had trouble with tight ends all season, so, or at least it feels that way. All right, anyways, I got to run, gang, but I just wanted to call in and say, you know, hey, and talk Packers with you guys for a few minutes, so.
Yeah, it's great having you back on the show, Chris. And keep up the good work at oldbagofdonuts.com.
Yep, absolutely, and happy holidays, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Definitely.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yep.
All right. Well,
oh, look at that.
Another caller.
Yes. Hello, you're on Cheesehead Radio. Who is this?
This is Colleen.
Hey.
Colleen.
Yay.
Yay. How are you
doing
tonight?
I called in. Good.
Did you get the splint off and everything, and you're healing properly?
Splint off, yes. Healing properly, it's really hard to say. Sucks to get old and break your bones.
Well, then don't do it.
Yes, I quite agree, and I shall not ever do it again.
Excellent.
I was thinking about this the other day when we were watching how well Matt Flynn and everybody was doing against, you know, against the Patriots. So we've got Aaron back this week. That's great. Do they need to pursue the same type of game plan that they did last week? Because, granted, there weren't a lot of long throws, and there shouldn't have been, because Matt hasn't played much, and that's not his strength. But it almost seemed like that's what we need to be doing, and we haven't been doing it.
Well, I know that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is such a talent. You know, he's so multifaceted in terms of what he can do to a defense, you know, with his arm, you know, and with his legs, scrambling and whatever. I think that McCarthy takes more risks. He called a great game plan, but I think that when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, he gives him far more latitude than he otherwise would.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that gums up the works.
Yeah, I mean, I would give him more latitude, too. But, I mean, look at the run game last week. And, you know, the Giants are a different animal, so who knows if we would have the same success. But it just seems like he was really close to what we should be doing all the time.
I totally agree. And that was my problem with the Detroit game, in that I feel like the first half when Rodgers was there, there was really no offensive identity. And the second Rodgers went out, it was, wait, we have to dial a lot of things back. We have to tailor this to Flynn. We're just going to dink and dunk short little passes. And those drives, I mean, we didn't win the game, but those drives moved. And then we come out with the Patriots game, and it's an offense completely just, it doesn't have all the frills. It's just exactly what we can do, and we're just going to do it, and that's it. And it worked. And then you throw, and I understand throwing Rodgers back in there and giving him, you know, like we're saying, a lot of, you know, a lot of leeway. And he is such a great weapon, and he can make so many things happen, but I think sometimes it just gets too, I can't think of a better word, too fancy. There's just too much going on. There's too much frills. And if we just stuck to the basics, I think this offense could be a lot more consistent, for one, and then be a lot more high scoring.
Yeah, what is it McCarthy says about his playbook, how thick it is or something? He's got a portfolio. Maybe he needs to have a folio.
A folio.
Yeah, he's so proud of the fact that he could play a triple header against the same team.
Yeah, maybe he needs to not worry about that so much.
Let's focus on winning the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that the playbook is so big goes back to the point we were talking about earlier of maybe he should focus on just head coaching the team and not worrying so much about the offense, because he gets so involved in the offense, it's like he just puts blinders on for the rest of the game, or doesn't know when to, you know, get a play called in 19 seconds or anything like that. I mean,
I'm just throwing it out there.
That's kind of what I wrote about this week, because it's like, you know, and Jersey Alice is the same thing, and he's totally right. I think McCarthy's actually, he puts together a great game plan if he gets to focus on that. He can't clock manage to save his hiney, and he needs to either work that out or have somebody else do it for him or something.
Well, you're preaching to the choir with me, because
yes,
I've been talking about this since about week two, and I hate to see, I love Aaron Rodgers, I want to see him successful.
It took me a while to get there, but I'm on board.
Well, good. Welcome. Plenty of room for all.
All right, well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Colleen. Love
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, all that stuff.
You betcha. All right. Thanks again. Have a good one.
Yeah. Thanks, Colleen.
Bye.
Wow. We're just popular tonight.
It's just a busy night tonight. I wonder who this could be. Hi, you're on the Cheesehead Radio. Who is this?
It's Packer Santa.
It's Packer Santa.
Packer Santa. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
I have gifts in my bag here for everybody at Cheesehead Radio.
Oh, boy.
CD. I have something here for a CD.
Oh, that's me.
That's you. Okay. I have a new computer to run the Cheesehead Radio console on.
Oh, thank you, Santa.
How do you like
awesome.
That, CD?
Oh, just give me Skype and I'm a complete fan.
Santa Skypes too, you know.
Yes.
That's how I talk to Mrs. Santa when I'm away on my trip. Beautiful thing, the internet.
Yes.
Let's see, what else do I have in my bag here? I've got something for a John.
Ooh.
John, is there a John there?
Yes, there is.
Oh. John, for you, I have a one-way ticket out of godforsaken Chicago to the promised land of Green Bay.
Santa, thank you so much.
My pleasure, John. I hear you've been wanting that for a long, long time.
Yes, I have. I've been asking you for years, and finally I'm going to get it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Let's see what else I have in here. Holly. I have something for a Holly. Is there a Holly here?
Yeah, I've been writing you every year since I was four.
Oh, don't think I don't get them those letters. Of course I do. But I'm responding to your last one from just this year. And what I've got for you in here, Holly, I've got a dedicated high-speed internet connection for you at work, bypassing all your government firewalls, all your research all day for your opposition research blogs.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing. Thank you.
You can cruise the internet to your delight. And let's see, what else do I have in here? Jamie, I've got something for a Jamie. Is there
a
Jamie there?
For me too? Me too?
Yeah. Are you the giggler, Jamie?
I am.
You are. Okay. Well, what I have for you is a lifetime supply of Lancome eye makeup in every shade
Yay!
Of green and gold. And
thank you, Packer Santa.
And if you're really good, next year I'll bring you the blue from the throwback jerseys.
Aw, thanks.
My pleasure. Santa loves making people happy, especially Packer fans.
Oh, thank
fans.
You, Santa.
And I've got one more thing in here. I've got something for a Jersey Owl. Is there a Jersey Owl here?
Unfortunately, he's not here.
Well, maybe you can relay this to him then.
We will.
For Jersey Owl, I have a bag of coal, but it's not for him. See, I'm going to pick him up in my sled. We're going to Lambeau, and he's going to personally deliver it to Mike McCarthy. That's my gift to him. Well, Santa has to go. I have lots of other Packer fans to make happy. So, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Oh. Wow.
Oh my gosh, my Patriots. That was awesome. Oh. Look at my new computer, guys.
Does it run Skype?
Well, I don't know. Gotta wait till Skype works again, then I'll be able to find out. Well, Holly, while the rest of us all recover from our joy from Santa, would you be willing to give us our opposition research minute?
Sure. We've already started talking about it, so let's go.
All right. Well, it gives me a chance to play the stage.
And now, this week's opposition research minute.
Surprisingly, the beleaguered punter at Lambeau Field on Sunday won't be playing for the Packers. Giants rookie Matt Dodge was widely berated for doing what no punter should ever do. That's right, on the last play of the game, instead of kicking it out of bounds, he kicked it to a 300-pound lineman. Oh, wait, no. No, he kicked it to DeSean Jackson. And one game-winning punt return for a touchdown later. See, the story of New York's late-game meltdown writes itself. Despite squandering a 31-10 fourth-quarter lead, however, the Giants still control their own destiny. If they win on Sunday, they clinch a playoff berth and sentence the Packers to their living room couches. Safety Antrell Roll has already guaranteed a Giants victory. But for the sake of argument, let's not take Roll's word for it, and instead look inside the first matchup of these teams since that 2007 conference title game. The biggest challenge, the single biggest challenge facing the Packers on Sunday is the Giants' defensive line. Justin Tuck, Barry Cofield, Chris Canty, and OCU Manura comprise the toughest front the Packers will face all year. And if solid run defense keeps Jackson and Kuhn from getting into a rhythm, watch out. They are second in the league in sacks and will almost certainly get Rodgers to the ground. And for the Packers to give Rodgers time to attack that giant secondary and not put him in jeopardy of yet another concussion, they will need strong performances from every member of the offensive line. But New York has a big play offense itself. See, Eli Manning is third in the league with 50 passes of 20 yards or more, and his 28 touchdowns, five more than Rodgers, is tied for fourth overall. With receiver Hakeem Nicks returned from injury and Mario Manningham developing in his absence, Manning has enough weapons to put up points on anyone. Not to mention that in addition to blocking for Ahmad Bradshaw and Mauler Brandon Jacobs, the Giants' O-line is second best in pass protection. B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews will find it difficult to get to Manning, but they still must try. Frankly, the most you can hope to do against an offense that is as balanced as the Giants is to bend but not break. Luckily, this is the Packer defense's M.O. And, as we've mentioned, happily, the Giants' offense may help out the Packers by turning the ball over, something they do with great frequency. Manning leads the league with 20 interceptions, and the offense has 14 additional fumbles that they've lost. If the Packers' defense wants to regain its swagger, you couldn't ask for a better opportunity. But no matter how many yards they give up, if the Packers' D keeps Manning out of the end zone, Green Bay has an excellent chance to win. Now, late-season meltdowns aren't news to New York. Just a year ago, the team started with five straight wins and then followed it up with a four-game slide. And then, with playoff hopes still alive at 8-6, they suddenly folded, losing to Carolina 41-9 and then the Vikings 44-7. Now, obviously, different year, different team, and maybe a players-only meeting that was held on Monday purged all of their bad juju. But you got to wonder whether this isn't becoming something of a pattern. You know, in San Diego, North Turner's teams consistently start slow and then rip off a string of victories into December. Are Tom Coughlin's Giants about to start that late-season slump? Well, the Packers can't afford to sit back and wait for New York to wave a white flag, because the Giants understand that a win gets them to the postseason. Instead, the Packers must see this as a playoff game already, one in which they must play better than the last time these two teams met.
All right.
Yeah.
Holly said juju.
I did. And if that's all you got out of that,
Katie giggle. I love those.
No, we got more out of it than just the juju. It's just such a great word,
definitely.
You know.
It is. All right, you know what? I think we have a caller. Nope. Oh, yes, we do. Let's see if we can find out who that is. I'm not even going to screen it. I'm just going to go live.
Ooh. Living dangerously.
I know. It's risky, but we're going to give it a shot. Hello,
it's
you're
Fred.
On Cheesehead Radio. Who is this?
Well, you wanted all the women to call in, so it's my turn.
Yay!
Is this Anita?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi,
how
Anita.
Are
fine. How are you?
I'm so excited
very,
to get to hear
good.
Everyone's voice.
I know. It's nice to hear voices and attach them to the pictures I see on Twitter.
Yes.
So what is on your mind
tonight? Talk about everything, though. I can't think of anything to really talk about other than what we've already talked about.
Let me ask you a question, then, because this is the next
okay.
question I was going to ask. Cause
okay.
Yeah, the Bears beat the Vikings on the little frozen sheet of ice that they.
Yes, my two favorite subjects: the Bears and the Vikings.
The Bears have won the division. Are they really that good? I mean, when you just look at them as a team, is this a team we should be looking up at in the standings?
I've been really bad about saying that they are the luckiest team I've ever seen in my life, and they need to pick lottery ticket numbers for me all year. I don't think they're as bad as I made them out to be in the beginning of the year, but I think they've benefited from a lot of luck that the Packers just haven't this year. I mean, how many third-string quarterbacks have they played against? They get to play the Vikings with Adrian Peterson out for the game. Then there's that Calvin Johnson catch in the very first game. That kind of set the tone for the year, that Calvin Johnson touchdown that didn't get counted as a touchdown. In the very first game, it was almost like it's a sign. And the rest of the year has kind of fallen suit. They don't have very many injuries. They've just, and on that horrible field that they play on, it's just amazing.
In the spaceship.
I just think, you know, it goes to the saying that you have to be not only good, but a little lucky, too, I guess. That's, you know, I guess they won the division, got to give them that, but I didn't see that they would be this good. And I still think that, I'm still waiting for them to crumble. I'm hoping it happens on Sunday, but not that it'll do any good now. But just to shut the people I live around up, I'd like to see them lose the next two games.
Well,
yes.
They'd like that anyway.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't looked at it. I haven't looked at the standings or the scenarios. Is there a possibility that, say, if the Packers get the wild card, the sixth seed, that we could actually be traveling to Chicago for a playoff game?
I keep hearing people mention that, so there must
yes.
be. I haven't looked either.
There is.
I don't know what that scenario is, but on that, you can put in different, like, game winners, and I think it's at either ESPN or NFL.com, and they'll tell you what the matchups would be. And I've seen it where the Packers have been playing the Bears. So
well,
I know it's a possibility.
It's pretty much a guarantee if they get a wild card spot because, you know, the Bears are the number 3 seed. unless the Eagles somehow implode,
yeah.
Or, you know, I don't even think that the Falcons can. So, you know, the
Bears can jump to number two, but it's unlikely.
It's extremely unlikely. And then you consider that the fourth seed is going to be the NFC West. I mean, that's it. So,
if any of them even reach 500, that's
right.
That's another thing.
Right, exactly. Now, I think that the Saints have pretty much wrapped up the five spot. I mean, they've got at least one, if not two, wins on the Packers. But maybe one because they lost to who did they lose to? The Ravens last week. So basically, the Packers are fighting for six, and if they get
right.
six, they'll travel to three, and three is the Bears.
Right.
I mean, there's very little. I don't think there's a lot of
likely scenario.
Yeah. But if that happens,
this makes me nervous though.
Yeah, but don't
because
don't
last
be
year we did that. Oh, sorry,
No. But don't be nervous. This is exactly my point. I don't think that this is a problem that, like it was last year, where it's like we went to their house and then we embarrassed them, and then the next week they embarrassed us, because we'd be switching locations.
Mm-hmm. True.
So
very true.
It wouldn't be like you were in a hostile environment in week 17, and then, you know, it's that.
And wouldn't it be like almost worth having them win the division to go into their house during the playoffs and knock them out?
It would be nice.
Okay, you can have the division if we get to do that.
If that's the trade-off, I'll take it.
You can even trade for me.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I'm good with that, and I think that would give me the last word around all the Bear fans that I live around. So.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of
got Anita, do you have a prediction for this week?
For this week?
This
I hate to make predictions because I tend to jinx. I'm going to take the home field advantage with 3 points, and I think we beat them by about 3 points. I don't want it to be that close, so I'm tired of this. I want to watch one where I'm comfortable the whole time. But I'm never comfortable this season. It's like every game, even when we jump out to a lead, I'm never comfortable until the end, and either it's disaster or, you know, I'm like, oh, that was close. So,
the secret is predicting a win by 5 points or more. I think if you do that, the Packers have a chance.
Yeah, okay.
The 4 points or less thing is not working out, though.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx them by saying an actual number. I never bet on the Packers. I never give a score, because I think I tend to jinx them that way. I hope for the win, and that's pretty much it. So,
right.
Well, nice talking to all you guys.
Yes,
Anita,
thank you for calling in.
Hearing your voice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, have a good rest of your night. And
oh, you
yeah,
too, and have a nice
happy
Christmas,
holidays,
guys.
Yeah.
Yes, happy holidays.
Thank you.
All right.
See ya.
Well, should we do our predictions and then wrap her up here?
Sounds good to me. It's getting
all
that
right.
time.
All right. Well, let's get around the horn. Start with John Rahor of GreenBayPackerNation.com. What's your prediction this week?
Well, being the master of all predictions that are wrong, I look at this game as it's a playoff game. Everybody's saying that on the chat. Everybody's saying it in the blogosphere, in the Twitterverse. Most definitely it is. And with that being said, most playoff games are close games that, you know, come down to, dare I say, special teams.
Oh.
Yeah. With that being said, I agree that I think it's going to be home field advantage. I'm going to say Packers win 24-21.
Oh.
Okay.
That's 3 points, though.
But it's not. I hope it doesn't come down to a last-second Mason Crosby field goal. I hope we get that maybe in with 5 minutes left, so there's a little cushion. I don't.
Exactly. We'll keep open. Next around the horn, Jamie Jores from the Packers Lounge and BrentFarb.com. How do you see this game turning out?
Well, no surprise, I'm picking the Packers.
And I kind of agree with everyone that it will be a dogfight. These are two teams that both have to win the game. And so it's going to be very close. I can see the Packers scoring 31 and Giants 27. It's going to be close. And it's not going to be fun. I wish it was. But we will win. I have faith that we will win. Because we have to. And I said so. And I had faith last week, and I was almost there. So it's got to happen this week.
All right. Thank you, Jamie. Miss Holly Phelps from Brent Favre and the other 31. How do you see this game going?
Well, I would love to think that we will be able to run the ball like we've never run the ball before. Watching the Eagles game, the Giants did pretty much what they wanted to do for three quarters, and that's a team that we struggled against. I think they can score. I think they will score. I don't think they'll score as many as they did against the Eagles, but I can see them scoring 25, 27. I hope and I am determined that the Packers will score more, but I think it will be extremely close. So I will say 27-25. Packers.
So we have predicted so far a 2-point, a 3-point, and a 4-point win for the Packers. Not McCarthy's best record, but those 4 points or less. I'm actually, once again, I'm probably going to regret doing this, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. And he's going to put a little bit of a chip back on his shoulder, but he's going to have learned a lesson. I think he's going to stay in the pocket. I have a feeling this concussion scared him. It scared him more than probably the first one, because he actually missed a start. And I think that makes a young man take a hard look at his longevity in this league. I think he's going to be a slightly different player, a smarter player. And I think the Packers are going to, I'm not going to say they're going to roll in this one, but I've got to predict something more than 4 points because it's just not good luck. I'm going to say 31-24. I think the Packers win it.
CD, you just made me so proud.
No, thank you.
That was actually...
All grown up.
I'm very proud.
Thank you. Thank you.
She may actually cry.
I might.
Well, so am I.
Well, that'll do it for tonight's show. Thanks so much for everyone for calling in. You guys made this such a special show, calling in to chat with us. Brian, Kyle, Chris Lempsis, Colleen, Packers Santa, and Anita, thank you so much for calling in. Packer Transplants is still on hiatus until the new year, but rest assured, we, your fabulous fivesome, or whatever bunch of us is available, will be back next week at our regularly scheduled time on Thursday, December 30th at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, if you can't listen live because you're not at a computer, when the show is live, all you have to do is call in 917-932-8401. And listen over your phone speaker. If you've missed the live radio show, you can listen on your iPod. Cheesehead Radio is available on iTunes. Or stream our latest podcast over your mobile device on Stitcher. And don't forget, if you've got something you'd like us to play on air but won't be able to call in, go ahead and leave us a message on our hotline, which is 316-CH-RADIO. And that'll do it. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, guys.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Same to everyone.
What a fun show. Fun show for everybody. That was a little different for us. A very good time. Very good time with talking to a lot of the people and connecting some voices to some faces there.
Agreed.
Yes. All right.
Ladies okay. and gentlemen, we will see you all next week after a Packer victory over the Giants. Thanks a lot, and go Pack, go.
Go Pack.
Go Pack.
Good night. Good night, everybody.